I'll give the title up front because the whole message is going to revolve around this title. I will break the pride of your power. That says a lot, does it not? Those very words are uttered only once in the Bible in a certain place. And I will go to that later. That is the title that begins to form the whole basis of this sermon, part one, that will at least be a part two, if not into a part three. Long ago, to a specific nation, God made some promises. There again, he made some promises to a man named Abraham and to those descendants that Abraham would have that would come from him. And this prophecy, given long ago, an ancient prophecy, I will break the pride of your power, not only was applicable to a people, a nation that is Israel of long ago, but is more than ever applicable to a certain people in our world today. A nation that has, by and large, forgotten the God who gave them the tremendous blessings that they have. I want to talk today about this nation, actually two nations, two empires, two superpowers, empires that were to rule the world at the end of the age. I read from the booklet that we have, The United States and Britain in Prophecy, to help set the message up. Great Britain. We don't say Great Britain anymore. We haven't said Great Britain in a long time because Britain has not been, quote, great in a long time. And I have not heard anyone in Britain, by the way, say, let us make Britain great again. It's only been in this land, and I'll say something about that later in the message. Great Britain in her heyday was a vast colonizing power. And if you've studied world history and you know world history to any degree, there never had been an empire like it. It was often said that the sun never set on her colonies, her wealth, her blessings, her possessions. And yet, ultimately, the sun did set. Because the sun ultimately will set upon every empire in history. The last two or three personals that I have written and sent have been to fit these messages I'm given. And if you read the last personal I sent out this past week about those eight stages of the rise and fall of democratic states and empires, we are probably somewhere between that seventh and eighth stage right now. It's scary, isn't it? Great Britain has long ceased to be great. England is truly the sick man of Europe. Religion has been dead in England for a long time. I don't know how many of you are aware of these things, but I want to make you aware of them. Religion has primarily been dead in England for a while. The churches primarily have been mostly vacant for a while. And it's dying here in this nation. And certainly a different type of religion is replacing the Judeo-Christian religion. In fact, government is becoming more and more the religion of acceptance in this nation, where government is becoming that which we look to save us. They're doing a real good job, wouldn't you say? I think about that old line in Alabama song, Mr. Roosevelt's going to save us all. Song of the South, I think it's the Song of the South, Alabama long ago penned. Mr. Roosevelt, speaking to Mr. Franklin, going to save us all with all those New Deal social programs that he instituted. And I'm not here to bash Franklin Roosevelt. But again, if you know your history, you know some of these things. America reached a pinnacle of superpower status Shortly there, really, at the close of World War II. We became a superpower by the close of World War II. America, by the close of World War II, was looked to by the world as now the leader of the world, because the British Empire was already in its death throes. And we basically bailed Britain out in World War II. If you know history again, they only could hang on. Churchill understood that. If we can hang on till the Americans get into the fray. And if you know the history again, you will know and understand that Churchill behind the scenes was imploring Franklin Roosevelt, our president, and others, you've got to get in this war. You've got to get involved, because the Nazi Germany, the Axis powers, and Germany and Italy and Japan were going to, if they're not stopped, quickly rule the world. And as the booklet said, England, Britain, and America, with the other sons of Jacob, the Allies, saved the free world. America began to reach higher. After World War II, new successes were coming. Our young men came home from World War II. They were just so happy to be home. Young men who had seen battle and action and things that they would never talk about again. And they came home only wanting to get on with their life. And they did. And they began to build an America that became even a greater superpower. The World War II generation, they're called. My parents' generation. Those that went through Great Depression and fought World War II. And they had us, the baby boomers. And that started a baby boom. And that started a industrial revolution and technology. And everything was just escalating in every aspect, every endeavor of human endeavor, from scientific field to the medical field. And as we went through each decade, you know the story, if you're old enough, how we have risen. We had risen to heights of affluence, materialistic wealth, power, military power such as no nation in the history of the world. But look at us now. We're crumbling fast as an empire. It is happening so fast, it's almost hard to believe. This is not a feel-good message. This is a message to get our heads up. I won't go to Ezekiel. I know Ezekiel so well. And God told Ezekiel the prophet, and we are in ministry to do it. We are to warn. We are to warn along with the salvation message. We are to have the warning message included, because what we're about to face as a nation, and it's here, and what we're going to face in worse times to come, we must warn so that the blood will not be on our head. That is, yes, the ministry. If I don't preach and cry aloud, the blood's on my head. This is what the whole message of Ezekiel is. And I'm committed to that. I'm committed to it. I want us to do something. I want us to go back in time. I want to go back in time. I want to pick this story up. I want to pick this story up about a nation, Israel. And I want to come forward. So if you would, I want you to take your Bibles and go to Genesis 48. Genesis 48. Prophecies. Storyline that were to have tremendous, profound applications to a modern people in our age today. Chapter 48, I will just drop right down to where Joseph brings his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, to Jacob, their grandfather, to bless. Jacob was soon to die and leave this earth and back to dust from whence he came. And he understood that. And Joseph brought his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, Jacob's grandsons, to him to bless. And we'll pick it up in verse 13 of Genesis 48. Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and he brought them near him. And then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn, because the blessing, the greatest blessing, double portion, generally always went to the firstborn. And we see verse 15, and he blessed Joseph. Notice this, though, brethren. He blessed Joseph. The blessing ultimately went to Joseph, but was through and to be received through his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. God before my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day. Verse 16, this is Jacob speaking. The angel, and the word angel is capital A, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Now, note something here. This is a reference to the one who became Jesus Christ. Angels do not redeem. Angels do not give the blessings. When Jacob wrestled with that spirit being that night, recorded all night, and he received the blessing, that was the one who later became Jesus Christ. He says, verse 16, bless the lads, and note something here. Let my name be named upon them. Notice that. They were already a part of Israel. What was the name Jacob was given the night he wrestled? When he wrestled all night that night, he was given a new name, Israel. So he says in this blessing, let my name be named upon them. That is the name Israel. And the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them, notice this, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. These two sons who received the birthright blessing. It's in this booklet. You can find all of this and more in the booklet if you have it and want to read it. Verse 17, when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, so he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn, speaking of Manasseh, put your right hand on his head, that is to receive the superior blessing. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So we see this blessings upon these two sons, these lads. The house of Joseph being blessed. Because we know, if you know the whole story, Joseph was the favorite son of all. Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob. And Joseph received a special blessing above all of his brothers that came through Ephraim and Manasseh. And we see this here. For the sake of time, moving the subject along. So after this has happened, and before Jacob dies, look at chapter 49, verse 1. As I go through this story going back and then coming forward to us today. Verse 1 of chapter 49 of Genesis. Jacob called his sons, that is, he called all of his sons together now, and he said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Any scholar and all my studies over the many years have taught me, they understand, most all scholars, biblical scholars, understand that this is a reference to the latter times, the latter days. That doesn't necessarily mean the last 3.5 years or 6 years. It can mean the last 200-300 years of the end of the age. Who became two superpowers in the last 2-3 centuries? Again, Great Britain and America. And he says, this shall befall you in the last days or the latter times. And so he gives the blessings. You could go through the chapter. Maybe you've done that recently. But you could go through and he gives each one of those 12 sons. He gives each a blessing and pronounces a blessing upon each son of Israel. All of them part of the sons of Israel. All part of the house of Jacob. But yet we come down to verse 22. Genesis 49, verse 22. We come to verse 22. Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough. I'm reading from the New King James Version. A fruitful bough by a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him. They've shot at him and hated him. But his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Brethren, what does that say to you? As my beloved father-in-law used to say, what does that say to you? What does that say to me? We see great military power promised in the end time to this descendants, a nation. Great military power that would be given. You've heard the story. If you know the story of the British Empire, there had never been a navy on the high seas like the navy of the British Empire. One of the reasons she was able to dominate the world was through her great naval forces. And her naval forces were able to control the sea gates of the world. That's all recorded, documented history. And yet America went beyond that. We got the bomb in 45, right? And it quickly ended the war after we dropped those two bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We got the bomb. And we've been the most powerful nuclear nation that's ever existed. Going on here. Verse 25. Well, I omitted the last part of verse 24 there. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. It becomes very obvious who that reference is, and that is to the one who became Jesus Christ. By the way, the I am who was with Israel always in the wilderness, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 4. Verse 25, by the God of your Father who will help you, notice that, who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of deep that lie beneath, blessings of the breast and of the womb, the blessings of your Father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph. That is the house of Joseph. And on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. And because of Joseph, the blessings went to his sons and the birthright blessings to them. And we see here clearly a prophecy of the latter times where these two sons, these two nations, these two entities would become superpowers on the earth. Majority of people out here in this world have no idea because God has not opened their minds. This was one of the most requested booklets in my youth growing up. In fact, many times it was the most requested because people wanted to know who we are. If you're an orphan and if you are in this room or listening and you were raised an orphan and you don't know who your biological parents are, most of you understand that sooner or later it begins to kind of what? Eat at you. You seek to, most of you will try to find out more about who your biological parents were and those, so to speak, biological roots. The same. Many people in my lifetime in the church, and they would come into the church, God would call them, and many times they were so excited because they finally found out who we are. And that God had put a blessing on this nation. He had put a blessing on Great Britain. He had put a blessing on the other sons of Jacob. All back to ultimately Abraham. We see here the foundation of the story, you might say. And Joseph, who was separate from his brothers, became favored status to Jacob. And thus through his two sons became the recipients of the birthright blessings. What does the birthright blessing simply mean? It means blessings of wealth, prosperity, abundance, just as we read there in Genesis. You shall be a fruitful vine. You shall be a fruitful vine, by the way, and you shall be what? Blessed beyond all peoples. There has never been a nation in the history of the world so materialistically blessed as America. Not even Great Britain in her heyday had the same type of affluence. We've had the strongest middle class in the history of all civilization. We have here in America, and that's what has been such a strength to this nation, has been a strong, vibrant middle class. And brethren, it's being destroyed. We are the middle class, and it's being destroyed by design. Let's get our heads up. They must destroy the middle class because that's where the opposition always came from. These things are prophetic. Why are things happening to us the way they are? Most of all, because of our disobedience. Because of our disobedience. Go to Deuteronomy 33. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 33. Moses, now 40 years in the wilderness with Israel, he knows he's about to leave the scene. He knows that God's going to take his life because of him striking the rock. He's not going to be allowed to go into the promised land. And so Moses, he put together Deuteronomy. He wrote this last book of the law, as it's called, the Torah, the last of the five. And he recounts and tells Israel, remember now, remember what God said to tell me, to tell you. And he recounts these things. And we come to near the end of Deuteronomy in chapter 33. And he goes back to what he recorded in Genesis. Oh yeah, remember Moses wrote Genesis too. So when Moses penned those words that we just read in Genesis about Joseph shall be a fruitful bough at the end, the latter times, we see Moses here 40 years later in Deuteronomy takes it even a little bit farther, so to speak. Verse 13, chapter 33, Deuteronomy verse 13. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord is his land. Notice that, his land. That means Great Britain and America, two empires at the latter times, successive empires, brother empires. Brother empires that stood side by side in two world wars and defeated evil in two consecutive world wars. They saved the free world, and it's by God's providence. God's providence was behind it. Providence simply means his care and concern. God rules the universe, and he does know everything going on in his universe. God knows everything going on in his universe. He knows every hair on her head, as it says. He knows every sparrow that falls. He can count the stars. He knows the names of all the stars. God is so supreme, we cannot even begin to fathom how his mind is so great. He says in verse 13, and of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord is his land, with the precious things of heaven, with the dew and the deep lying beneath, with the precious fruits of the sun, with the precious produce of the months, with the best things. Notice all this. I mean, I will give them, the house of Joseph, I will give them the very best of everything. And that's what we have seen with these two nations, these two empires, the Great Britain and America. We have had the best of everything. But have we been truly thankful for them? No. You could, for a Bible study, jot down Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. You can go back and read it, where God tells Israel, ancient, and those of us today, modern, if you, when you get these blessings, and I bless you, and these fine homes, and all these blessings, and you forget me. And that's what has happened. Our very affluence, the affluence that we have enjoyed, has taken our eyes off God. Our materialistic approaches have removed our eyes from God. We have refashioned the old Babylonian system. Brethren, I could just talk for hours about these things because this is all there recorded in history. It's in the Bible. Mankind doesn't do new evils. They just recreate old evils. And we just tend to just keep doing what? Recycling the same wickedness and evil that has been perpetrated by humanity for nearly 6,000 years now. He goes on, verse 15 again, with the best things of the ancient mountains, with the precious things of the everlasting hills, with the precious things of the earth and its fullness. And notice, and the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. That makes it pretty clear. The I am, The Logos, the Word, the spokesman, the one who became Jesus Christ, who spoke to Moses and led in the wilderness. He was the one who led Israel, that rock, capital R in 1 Corinthians 10:4 that Paul mentioned. He was that rock in the wilderness with them. The one who dwelt in the bush, the favor from him. Let the blessing come on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. And notice verse 17. If this is not a definitive prophecy of two successive empires, the Great Britain and America, then please, who would it refer to? His glory, that is Joseph, the latter times, his glory is like a firstborn bull, and his horns are like the horns of the wild ox. Together with them, he shall push the peoples to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. What is that, brethren? Military power. To a degree, economic power, but more than anything, military power conquest. We have pushed people. The British Empire went to every corner of the earth. The sun never set on her possessions. She controlled the sea gates of the world through the most powerful naval forces that had ever been assembled in the world history. And then America came along. And by the end of World War II, we had the bomb. And we used it twice. And it ended the war. And we've been under that nuclear threat ever since when Russia got the bomb about 1955. And do you know how many nations of the world now are nuclear? Many. Many of the nations now are nuclear. No weapons ever been devised that has not ultimately been used. We see promises here of power. And we see these two successive empires, the British Empire and American Empire, how it has ruled the world for the last 2 and 3 centuries. And it was all prophesied by God. Prophesied to happen. A people that he gave special favor to. If you study the story of Balaam in the Bible, you know, that's the one where his donkey talked back to him. If you study that, you will see clearly, it's brought out clearly, you cannot curse what God is blessing. Nations who previous to our time today that tried to curse these two empires, they always generally wound up on the short end. But that's turning now. Now what's happening? The curses are coming because of our disobedience. Because of our disobedience, the tables are starting to turn. I want you to go to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 25 first. Leviticus 25. Give you a moment to get there. Leviticus 25. And I want to read the last verse of Leviticus 25. First, verse 55, to set up chapter 26. Leviticus 25, verse 55. For the children of Israel are servants to me. They are my servants whom I brought out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Who serves who? Do we serve God, or are we asking God to serve us? That's a real easy answer. We ultimately are to serve the living God. I brought that out in the recent sermon about sacrifice and service, where I talked about most of all, we sacrifice and serve them. That is God the Father and Jesus Christ. And so here we see God says to Israel, you are to serve me. What does that tell you in your mind? What does that say to you? In my mind, it says you are to worship me. You are to worship me with your whole might, being, and soul. You are to love me with your might, being, and soul. You are to serve me, worship me. He asked for Israel's love. He asked for our love as the church. Then we open chapter 26. Ancient prophecies And yet how true these are for us today, America. This was ancient Israel, and yet these prophecies we will read has total application to modern Israel, America, England, and the other sons of Jacob on this earth today. In fact, they're more applicable now than ever. Verse 1, this is the Logos. This was the Logos, the one who became Christ. This was the one who gave all the instruction to Moses. This was the one who spoke from Mount Sinai in chapter 19 and 20 of Exodus there that day on Pentecost. And we start here. You shall not make idols for yourselves. Neither a carved image nor a sacred pillar shall you rear up for yourselves. Nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. And notice verse 3. Here we go, the first mention, that little big word. The little big word, if. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. You will have peace. You will have rest. You'll never be able to store enough of the produce. You'll not have enough storehouses to store. I will bless you such abundantly. Is that not what he said in Genesis? You will be a fruitful bough if you will obey me. Verse 4, then I will give, well, I gave that, your threshing floor shall last. Verse 6, I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. Can I ask a quick question? Do you lie down now at night with no worries living in this world, in this land? Or do you wonder what's going to happen tomorrow in America, in this world? Do any of us know what's going to happen when we get up in the morning in this nation and world? By the way, when the dollar and the currency collapses, it will be quick. It will be quick. I will rid the land of evil beasts. God is saying, all these things I'm going to do if you will obey me. And the sword will not go through your land. That's warfare. You will chase your enemies, and they will fall by the sword in battle before you. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. And they did in World War II and World War I because God's provident will was with us, these two superpowers. For I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you and confirm my covenant with you. You shall eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. You won't even have been able to go through the old harvest. You'll have to get the old harvest out because you've got so much new coming in. The abundant materialistic blessings I will give you. It's easy provable. There's no nation in the history of the world that's ever been blessed in a materialistic way like this nation. That's easy provable. I will set my tabernacle. This is the most important thing to remember. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. What does it mean, I will set my tabernacle among you? That means I will put my presence with you. I will be with you in battle. I will be with you in the harvest season. I will be with you in every aspect if you will obey me. And this is when America and Britain prospered the most, is when they tried, by the Judeo-Christian belief system, they tried to obey God, and they went into the churches. The churches used to be the center of the community in this nation, and they're not near the center of the community anymore. And that's what's wrong. The thing that was the most astounding thing about this young nation early on was the fact that people gathered in places of worship to worship God. They don't do that anymore, by and large. I will walk, verse 12. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. And then verse 14. But we finally see that little word but in front of the word if. When you see but and if together, that's get your attention. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgments, so that you do not perform all my commandments, but break my covenant, I also will do this to you. Now he said, this is what I will do to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you. I will curse you, is what he's saying. I will curse you. These curses upon this nation are coming from God. These are judgments being poured out, brethren. The judgments are already coming because we have disobeyed, and they're going to increase if we do not repent. I will set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. Do you not see the building fear? We have a fear as a nation. We no longer have that same sense of pride in our power. We're no longer that sense of an assured nation, knowing the power and using it as a deterrent. Will you see people fearful? You see leaders who are no longer bold and courageous. Leaders who no longer apply the principles of in God we trust, but in Washington we trust, or in ourselves we trust. Verse 18, after all this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you, notice, seven times more for your sins. You see the 7x7 principle in Revelation. God pours out seven seals of revelation. They don't repent. And then what does he do? He pours out seven trumpet blasts. They don't repent. And then what does he do? He pours out seven last bowl judgments. You see the principle 777 in Revelation. God says here, I will punish you 7x more if you don't repent. 7x more punishment is coming to America if we don't repent. Verse 19. I will break the pride of your power. That's definitive. That's clear. Notice the pride of your power. Pride in yourself. Pride in what you think you can do. And we are seeing that. We have seen this for a long time now. How government and more of our elected officials are more and more have turned inward away from God, and promising all of us, the people, what they will deliver. Promises, promises, promises. Lynn Anderson, the old country artist, had a song there. Promises, promises, promises. I want to take you in just a short litany. I put several things in my notes. I just want to share it. Where are we now? What is happening to us? I will break the pride of your power. What does that mean? We are seeing social and cultural upheaval such as this nation has never experienced. Look at the border crisis, and if you don't think the border is a crisis, you're not looking that close. We're literally being invaded, and it's changing our medical system. As a pastor, and so many of you in the three churches, and you call me, and you may want to be anointed or send an anointing cloud, and you'll say, I cannot get an appointment for such and such time. I need to see the doctor now, but it's going to be so long before I can even see a doctor. Brethren, why is that happening? Because our medical care system is being overwhelmed. You look across the spectrum of everything. Everything is beginning to break down. So we see all this going on. We see the spirit of anarchy. We see the spirit of anarchy, violence and crime increasing exponentially so greatly. What was the reason God destroyed the nation people? The time of Noah's time. Great violence filled the earth. Now, that's not the only thing that filled the earth. Sexual debauchery filled the earth at that time too. But he highlighted the violence. We're seeing that same violence mount across this land. We're seeing the breakdown of law and order. We're seeing families ripped apart. We're seeing the military. We probably don't even have enough weapons to fight a war, basically, right now. I won't say no more about that. Military power, we're fast losing that. We are fast and have fast lost our presence in the world. What about inflation and monetary woes that are mounting? I went to Walmart here recently, walked out with one bag, one little bag from Walmart in my left hand. I think I had close to $100 in it. Now, it depends on what you buy at Walmart, of course. Have you been grocery shopping recently? Of course you have. The last statistic I saw, 58% of Americans living from paycheck to paycheck. Credit cards maxed out. These are realities. I will break the pride of your power. What's been the true essence of our power, brethren? What has been the true essence of the power of this nation? It's economic vitality. Economic power. I might mention what is on the outside of the New York Stock Exchange, that big statue on the outside of the Stock Exchange in New York. That bull. The bull. The symbol of power. What did Moses say in Deuteronomy 33, verse 17? Joseph, his descendants, will push like a young bull, will push people to the ends of the earth through economic power, might, and military power. And I will break the pride of your power. We see the weakening of the dollar. Stay tuned, brethren. Keep your eyes alert. The dollar shall be no more. And I wonder how much longer it's going to be till it shall be no more. It's coming. Digital currency, new currency, more government control over, do you think it's your money? Do I think it's my money? It's not. We're seeing a mindset of tyranny that is taken over in this nation. A mindset of tyranny from evil, wicked minds. They must destroy it to rebuild it in their own mind's image. This is not a pleasant message. This is a message to get our heads up. This is a message of an Ezekiel-type warning because it's already here. We could get up any given day, any week, and the dollar has collapsed. What about all the illegal drugs? The influence and affluence of the middle class. The middle class is being destroyed. This is not a political sermon. This is a sermon addressing the reality of where we are and what we've come to. And how much longer will the church be able eventually to meet as a body with all these things we're facing down the line? The hate speech laws are already almost everywhere except here in America, and they're quickly trying to destroy what we can say from lecterns to you. We're all over YouTube, united. I am, our speakers. We're all over YouTube. How long until they come at some of us? All of this because God said, I will break the pride of your power. And then we look at the church. We look at the church in America, in the United States of America. And I'm not talking about United or the true church. I'm talking about the church as an institution. The church as an institution, the Judeo-Christian ethics, religious, biblical worldview has been so eroded and is being destroyed in front of our eyes. Churches bowing to the dictates of government. We saw that during COVID. We saw it. We experienced it. Bowing to the dictates of what government told us to do. All churches didn't do that. I wonder what's going to happen the next time they try that with a lot of us. Churches that are bowing to persecution, fear of reprisal, changing their doctrines, watering down the truth of God. Brethren, I hope that you are kind of keeping up with these things because it has come to our doorstep now. It is on our doorsteps. It's invading our very lives. I look around this world now. I get up every day and I wonder, What am I going to get up to? Sometimes I kind of will comical little thing to Rhonda, my wife, I may say, get my first cup of coffee. I might get up and say, all right, honey, did the world blow up this morning? Because, you know, she generally beats me up, of course. I'm not an early riser. She's an early riser. I may say something more. Hey, hon, did the world blow up this morning? How's it going out there? You know how it is. You wonder, well, what's going to happen today? I want you to take your Bibles and go to Isaiah 9. I was here with this prophecy and a message a few months ago. And I want to go back there to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, go there. This is a prophecy that was fulfilled in ancient Israel and was fulfilled in modern day America today. Isaiah 9, a prophecy that was fulfilled in ancient Israel and was fulfilled in this very nation, America, in 2001. Duality. Duality of prophecy. Verse 8. Isaiah 9, verse 8. The Lord sent a word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel. What did Jacob say? Let my name be named upon these two lads. The name of Israel. It has fallen on Israel, particularly the birthright sons, Joseph. Verse 9. All the people will know, Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, who say in pride and arrogance of heart. Notice that. Who in their pride and their arrogance say, verse 10, the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will replace them with cedars. What do you hear? What we will do. What did Lucifer say in chapter 14 of Isaiah? Chapter 14 of Isaiah, when Lucifer said, what I will do. Five times, the five I wills it's called, where he says, I will this, I will, I will, I will. When we start talking about what we will do, what I will do, pride, arrogance, a nation that says in its pride and arrogance, why am I reading this today? This prophecy happened in America. 9/11, the Twin Towers came down. The Twin Towers were a symbol of our strength and power. The Twin Towers were a symbol of America's power and strength, their economic power. And those Twin Towers were hit, a symbol that represented America's might and power, and they came down. 9/11. This verse was read right after those towers had come down. They were read right there at Ground Zero. The very verse, Tom Daschle, the majority Senate leader, shortly after read them there at the Capitol, the same verse. The verse was read in by mayors and different people. They picked up on, and this verse was read in many places in this nation. The attitude, the arrogance, we shall rebuild, we shall come back, we shall overcome attitude. All the while ignoring repentance the whole while. I don't say this, and this is as plain as I can say, I don't say this to denigrate Donald Trump. I don't say this to put Donald Trump down. Make America great again. The MAGA. Make America great again. How often I have pondered that. It smacks of the same thing. We shall overcome. We shall make America great again. And then President Biden came back after that with his campaign slogan, Build Back Better. We see the same pride and arrogance. What we shall do, all the while ignoring a spiritual message that needs to be going out. Ignoring the sins of a nation. What we will do. And all the while, you cannot bless what God is now cursing. Did I make that very clear? You cannot bless what God is already cursing. The judgments are coming. I will just make a reference to the book by Jonathan Cahn. When Jonathan Cahn wrote the book, The Harbinger, in 2011, and he brought all this, a lot of this out in his book, he understood in 2011 This is coming on us because we will not repent. You see, 2001, that's right, 9/11, 2001. That's been 22 years, whatever. This coming September be 22 years. And we're less repentant than ever. You drop down there in verse 13, chapter 9 of Isaiah, verse 13. For the people do not turn to him who strikes them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off Israel and tail from Israel, palm branch and bulrush in one day. When it happens, it's going to happen quick. If you don't remember anything else, when these things happen, the worst happens, they're going to happen quick. The elder and the honorable, verse 15. He is the head, the prophet who teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and those who are led by them are destroyed. Therefore the Lord will have no joy in their young men, nor have mercy on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still, showing it is God who strikes the blow, who ultimately punishes the sons of Jacob in the time called Jacob's trouble. That will be in the next sermon. Who ultimately strikes the blow? It is God himself. God is the one who pours out the punishments. He uses instruments in his hand to mete out that punishment. Satan will be an instrument in his hand ultimately to punish the sons of Jacob along with the beast's power. But it is God behind the judgments coming. Brethren, these things that I speak of today are things that we need to wrap our minds around more. As we work out our salvation, Philippians 2:12 tells us, Paul does, to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. The ultimate quest for each one of us individually is to draw close to God, to be working out our personal salvation, but all the while watching and keeping abreast that what God is doing is pouring out punishments on a people that will not obey him. And we're a part of that. We're citizens of this nation. And the innocent suffer with the guilty when punishments come. Israel in Goshen, in Egypt, they were in the Goshen area. Israel suffered through the first three plagues that hit Egypt. That is a parallel duality for what I have long felt will be our lot. We will suffer through a lot before God makes the way of escape for us. We too will suffer through much because they suffered through the first three plagues, which is no doubt in my mind an analogous to times coming. I want you to go as I close. Where is our hope? My wife has always said, Gary, whatever, tell them how to fix it. Tell them how to fix it. So I use a parallel expression. I want to close with hope. Always in the end, give hope. So let's go to Psalms 146. Psalms 146. Chapter 146 of Psalms. We cannot trust in Washington. We cannot trust in politicians. We cannot trust in our governor of our state. We cannot trust in mayors and senators and representatives. We cannot trust anymore in self-government. Self-government has failed us, brethren. I wrote the personal, the one before the last one, and talked about how has any government, any republic, any democratic state ever ultimately ceased to exist? They've all ceased to exist because in the end, human nature ultimately cannot govern itself without God's presence in us. And there's the problem. We have cast off the God of our forefathers. Our forefathers of this nation would be appalled if they saw what these, quote, leaders of today are doing. And they'd start at the White House. 146 of Psalms, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. His spirit departs, he returns to his earth, and that very day his plans perish. Happy, verse 5, is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps truth forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord, verse 8, opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. And the Lord, verse 9, watches over the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turns upside down. The Lord God shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. There's our hope. We place our hope, and as James says, without going there, the book of James, the letter from James, without going there, it is time, as James speaks, to draw near unto God. And as we draw near to God, the devil will flee us, because the devil is on the prowl. And he and his, the demonic and Satan, I believe hedges are coming down. I believe God is allowing certain hedges to come down. I call it the Job effect. I'm seeing it clearly in my own mind now. God is allowing the first phase. He told Satan, you can do anything to his possessions, his wealth, but don't lay a hand on Job. And he removed all of Job's possessions. And that's what I see happening right now. We're seeing our possessions, our wealth, our materialistic way of life, evaporating in front of our eyes. God is first pouring out judgments to remove, I will break the pride of your power. And the second phase is the worst that I will speak about when I come back, God willing. And that is the time of Jacob's trouble, great tribulation, when Israel is shattered and scattered among the nations.